Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Well, I'm going to share some things with you this morning that have been in my heart, our heart, for some time now, and we're going to take a little bit of a break from our Book of Acts series that we've been going through. There's no outline for you to follow in your bulletin today, but some things I want to share with you this morning that I hope will be encouraging, but also perhaps help us as we move forward as a church. We're going to talk about church renewal, and that's maybe not a term that that you are familiar with, but I think we're all familiar with the whole idea of, from time to time, we all need renewal. We all need to, it's just like sometimes there might be something in your house that maybe you've got a room that you want to refresh with fresh paint or whatever, just to bring fresh life and renewed life and so on. The important thing when it comes to the church is that the church is a living organism. And sometimes, if we're not careful, things can become, I appreciate what Joel was saying at the beginning of the service, even when it came to singing the carol, sometimes things can become just very familiar and they lose their meaning, they lose that sense of life. And when it comes to the local church, we need to really pay attention to the things that really matter most. It's part of the reason we're doing the prayer summit tonight. And I'll give you a little bit of the story. Some of you know a little bit of our story and how it was about a year and a half ago that it wasn't intentional, but I kind of stumbled across a church in southern Manitoba by the name of Southland Church. It's a church that it's in Steinbach, Manitoba. Anybody here ever been to Steinbach, Manitoba? A few of you. It's not a destination place. It's not a place where people have on their WestJet dollars list that they want to. It's a must see place. Although we use some air miles personally ourselves to go and visit there, This town, it's a town of about 15,000 people, and the interesting thing was when I first heard about it, the thing that really drew my attention to it was a friend of mine had gone to visit, maybe we'll just not hold off the lights there, Kenneth, that's great, I'm not in a rock show up here this morning, so a friend of mine had gone to visit this church, and when he shared with me, he said it was such an amazing experience to be with over 1,000 people gathered together for prayer. And that just that in itself caught my attention. Because anyone knows how hard it is sometimes to gather people for prayer, especially corporate prayer. It's not easy. And sometimes it feels like maybe it just falls on deaf ears. But in this particular case, like hundreds of people were gathered for prayer, and so it kind of caught my attention. I went, "Well, what's here's a church, a town of 15,000 people, with currently a weekly attendance of over 4,000 people, gathering together, two services Saturday night, two services Sunday morning, and just an incredible atmosphere of God's presence and renewal." The interesting thing is that this particular church hadn't always been that way. In fact, years ago, when the pastor first came, the church had gone through numerous splits. He actually was, when it was he was voted upon, didn't even get the vote the first time. They had to do a second vote in order to actually get him in. And it was a church that had a real shyness when it came to the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they actually claimed to be what they call, maybe it's a term that some of you aren't necessarily familiar with, but they were known as cessationists, which simply meant that they did not believe that the gifts or the power or the work of the Holy Spirit was for today. They believed that it was for the early days of the church, but not for today. And so anything to do with the work of the Spirit was just kind of like shied away from completely. But over the years, they experienced God speaking to them. There was a point, a time where the pastor and the congregation, they actually repented, and they apologized. Because the Bible says to quench not the Spirit, right? They actually repented and asked God's forgiveness, and then there was a time where they just simply began to welcome the Holy Spirit to come into their midst. And that's when things began to change. That's when things began God began to just do some incredible things. And so, as I said, over the years, this congregation have really developed some incredible practices that have really helped to sustain the work of God. And so it was about 3 years ago, I guess, that, so it was a year and a half ago I first heard about this church. It was probably a little over a year ago that the whole concept and idea of prayer summits came into my heart. And so we've done two or three. I didn't really know what we were doing, but I thought, let's just do it. I mean, you know, like, I don't think we have to have a secret formula on how to pray, right? The important thing is, let's do it. And so this, about a month ago, Barb and I had the privilege of actually going to Steinbach, destination Manitoba, and we got to be part of what they refer to now as a church renewal weekend. About 3 years ago, the church, people started asking, like, so what's happening? And so they felt they needed to begin to kind of open this up for other pastors and leaders to come and experience and share what some of the things that they had learned. Let me just say, the church is still, in many ways, kind of a conservative-orientated church. They're not a hyper, swing from the chandeliers kind of church. In many ways, very safe when it comes to, and a very sense of, just a very, very real sense of God's presence. And so we had this privilege to go. We purposely chose billets rather than staying in a hotel. They offered billets to anyone who wanted to come. And so we thought it would be great just to live with a family for the weekend and be able to kind of get a feel of what is part of the real DNA of the church. We took part in what they call a set-free retreat, which was just an incredible experience for Barb and I, as well as their prayer summit. The night we were there, there was probably close to 1,300 people gathered for prayer on a Sunday night. And Barb and I, through the weekend, we kept saying, you know, that we can't take this with us. We can't take these people with us. We can't take their building with us, which was a massive building. We can't take their programs with us, their children's ministry with us. We can't take their 80 preschool or their 80 preteens gathered for prayer on the Sunday night. We can't take them with us. But we can take the heart. We can capture some of the heart. And that's been a big part of the last thing you want to do is become jealous of what someone else is doing. We can become jealous of God. Are you with me? The worst thing is to become jealous of another church, because all that does is breed discontent. But if something sparks a hunger for more, I think that's a good thing. And so what's interesting is that 3 years ago, when they began this whole church renewal thing, it started, and it's kind of humorous in some ways, the senior pastor didn't even want to do it. He had enough on his plate already. The last thing he wanted to do was start coaching pastors from all across Canada and all that kind of thing. But he kind of gave in to the voice of God, the voice of the Spirit, and in some ways the call and the need. And so so this whole movement began, this desire for church renewal in Canada. That's how it all started. That's another thing I loved about it too, is that it was Canadian. You know, sometimes we're kind of drawn to the glitz and the lights and the showbiz sometimes of the American church, but sometimes that just turns Canadians off. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but I'm just saying that sometimes sometimes you need something from kind of home, and realize that God is moving, and God wants to move in our secular, very secular base, Canada, and He's still at work. And so they started out with no plan, no money, no pastors, just a vision. And they've had, I think, four or five of these church renewal weekends now. The weekend that we were there just a month ago, there were 29 denominations represented that came together. Over 200 participants came together. It's actually expanding outside of Canada into the international community. There was a whole group of Latin Americans and Mexican people that came, even folks from Iceland that came. So it was really cool to see the body of Christ coming together and being part of this. And probably the common denominator of all of these people was they were hungry. And they were seeking God for something fresh, something for Canada, and for even for their own land. And the reality that we all came to understand, and I think most of us here today would agree, and we can maybe go to the next slide there, Josiah, is that the church in Canada needs to be renewed today. How many would agree with that? The church needs to be renewed in Canada. And I'm not going to go into all the statistics, but just a couple of basic ones, is that, and this was a report that was done a couple of years ago, in fact, that 60% of youth in the church, and I think actually the stats are even higher than this, of youth that have grown up in the church are leaving the church. Another troubling fact is that increasingly many core adults, people who have been core believers in local churches, are leaving the church. And something that was stated that just kind of resonated in my heart was that the enemy is overpowering the Western church. That's a strong statement, because we always like to think that, no, we're winning this battle. Yeah, it does. It does. It sounds kind of bleak, but thankfully it gets better. Okay, and as I was writing out these notes, I was reminded again though that Jesus still said, "I will build my church." He didn't say, "I'll build the Western church." He said, "I'll build my church," and he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." I think the challenge sometimes is we try to build our church. But Jesus said He will build His church. And so with that in mind, we need to pay attention to the things that really matter. And so in many ways, the Western church has become weak. Even youth. One of the things that youth are looking for is they're looking for an experience. They're wanting to experience and encounter God. And they don't necessarily know that one of the reasons they're leaving is because it's not just because sermons are boring, but and maybe that's part of the truth, but the reality is a lot of times we are not positioning ourselves in such a way to encounter God the way that we can. And so a couple of things. I thought this was really, and I've heard these terms before, and they may be new to some of you, but hopefully we can just bring a little perspective to it. When it comes to the church in Canada today, in fact, North America, when it comes to orthodoxy, we'll go to the next slide there if we can. There it is. When it comes to orthodoxy, you've heard of the term orthodox, like, you know, there's actually a church called the Orthodox Church. Orthodox simply means right beliefs. And when it comes to what we believe as a church, we're for the most part, we're pretty good at that. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? We believe that. We believe in prayer, right? How many believe in prayer here? We believe in the power. We believe in prayer. We believe in discipleship. We believe in reading our Bibles. We believe in spending time with God. That's orthodoxy. We believe in having good doctrine. We're not into, you know, some wild, far out, crazy spin on the Bible. We want strong biblical teaching. We believe in that. That's something that's really important to us. And the Western Church, for the most part, is pretty strong on that. Where the problem comes in, where we for the most part, in many ways, I won't say all across the board, but in a lot of ways, we are weak when it comes to the next word, and it's called orthopraxy. And orthopraxy simply means practices. Can you see where we're going with this? We strongly believe in prayer. But in many ways, the Western Church, when it comes to the practice of prayer, and I don't just mean prayer meetings, but even in our personal lives, a lot of times we are weak when it comes to the practice. Oftentimes we say we believe in the study and the reading and the communion with God, spending time in God's Word. But when it comes down to the practice, the orthopraxy, we often are weak. And all of that, it starts to kind of filter into the life of the broader church or even a local church. Let me just put it this way. Most of us believe that eating healthy is a good thing, right? We believe that. That's our when it comes to our food habits, our orthodox food habits are good. We believe that. But oftentimes, our practice is not so good. We believe in, say, exercise, but, you know, I think if we were to ask the question, how many believe in exercise? Yeah, we do. But how many would say, orthopraxy, practices, sometimes we are a little bit weak on that side of it. Are you with me? So those, just to kind of help illustrate this reality. And so, yeah, that's great. Thanks, Josiah. So the church, as we go forward, one of the things that coming out of some of this that weekend, just again reminded and is how that the church today needs a renewal of right practices. One of the things that Barb and I were very much aware of as we gathered on that night of prayer with like 1,300 people to gather together. Now, of that 1,300, there was a couple hundred of us, so that was great. We just kind of got lost in the crowd. You would never even know that 200 of us were there because we kind of got lost in the crowd. That was quite overwhelming and so on in many ways. But one of the things God showed us was that this did not happen overnight. You know, we say, well, wouldn't that be awesome to have 1,000 people come for prayer? Wouldn't it be great if that was, you know, could be our case, or even, you know, 100 gathering for prayer on a regular basis? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, the reality is, for these guys, it didn't happen just overnight. It came as a result of discipleship, one that valued it. It came as a result of intentionality and a commitment to actually practice this and make it a part of the DNA of the life of their church. And not only these prayer summits that they would have on a regular basis, but also prayer through the week, prayer opportunities in their small, like really emphasizing praying together in cells and small groups and that kind of thing. The reality is that all of this was a result of a church and a people who had been taught this right practice and who were willing to submit to it and willing to say yes to it. And they placed a high value on coming together. Kind of reminds me a little bit of when Jesus was praying in you know, before he went to the cross. And I was just thinking about this the other day, of how he valued his disciples, and he said, "Would you come and pray with me?" Jesus was facing the greatest battle of his life, right? When he went to the cross. He was facing the greatest challenge that he would ever face. And in order to do that, part of his, he so desperately wanted his disciples to come and join him in prayer. And we know that, I'm sure they believed in it too, but what happened? They were weak. And, you know, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, because they didn't necessarily submit to that request as he had hoped. But you can see the picture here. Jesus valued his disciples coming together in prayer. Thankfully, that as the early church began, those same apostles and same disciples actually by this time actually caught the heart of prayer. The Holy Spirit came into a prayer meeting. The early church was birthed in an atmosphere of prayer. They spent, gathering together in the exposing themselves to the apostles' teaching and doctrine, going to home, breaking bread, and having prayer, spending time in prayer together, all those things. And so, just some thoughts here. Number one is that the church needs the church needs a renewal of practices, of right practices. Not just more busyness, but really a commitment to right practices, which we have an opportunity to explore further. Go to the next slide, Josiah. Church renewal, and this is something they didn't say this, but it really spoke to my heart, is that church renewal begins with personal renewal. I think they did actually say it in different ways. So oftentimes we want a different church. We want things to be different, but the reality is, it starts with you, and it starts with me. We used to sing a song when I was a kid growing up. Search me, O God, know my heart, renew, start a revival in me. You know, like. So often we're waiting for the other guy, for something to happen. But the reality is renewal, we must all make a commitment to personal renewal. We need to say, renew my spirit, renew my life, renew my heart. Revelation 2, if you are jotting things down, verses 1 to 7. In fact, it was the Ephesus church was being referred to, and that was that the church at Ephesus in Turkey had actually lost their first love. We don't have time to go into all that this morning, but the call was to return to your first love. How many of you remember when you first came to know Jesus? How many remember when you first gave your life to Christ? Maybe, and you really experienced God, maybe as a kid at camp, or maybe as a young adult, or wherever it might have been, or I'm looking up to my friend Chris up there. I remember when out there in the parking lot when you gave your heart to Jesus and part of an alpha group. And, so oftentimes we look back and we say, I just remember that first love. And the scripture, we're always being invited to return. Return to your first love. Revelation 2 says, repent and do the things that you did at first. And so even part of our weekend when we were with these folks, part of the weekend involved repentance, involved getting some things right with God. And that's often where freedom begins. It's where renewal starts. And it's allowing the Holy Spirit to stir things up in us, in me, in you. So I'm just kind of whetting the appetite here a little bit. But so church renewal begins with personal renewal. CPC renewal begins with a couple hundred people getting right with God and being completely, and just saying, Holy Spirit, would you do a work in me? Renew your work in me. Number three, and in some ways this is very similar to the first point, and that is that the church needs to return to the ancient paths. And I kept hearing this term through the weekend, and I thought it was interesting, ancient paths. You know, sometimes we're drawn to the new. We're drawn to the, you know, the modern, or we're drawn to, you know, what's the latest and the best. But there's something about, and let me tell you, this church had the latest and the best. In fact, I'll just give you a little side story. I personally, right now, I'm involved in a mentoring group with about probably 20 other pastors from across Canada, where we meet together every Thursday for an hour, hour and a half, and it's completely over video. It's a video conference, and I can see them, they can see me. This church, they've invested like $400,000, like a lot of money, of the best technology on the planet. So they're into the best stuff, so that we can all come together and be mentored in some of the ancient. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And so if you can combine the newest with the ancient, I think you've got a good strategy for going forward, amen? It's interesting that they are mentoring people in Iceland, they're mentoring people in Latin America just over this video technology, and none of it, they're not charging us for any of it. So I get, you know, I'm exposed to some of this stuff, and they're just saying God has blessed them. And they just, as a church, they've made a commitment. We want to see, the heart of their church is they want to see renewal in Canada and other places as well. And so they're actually doing it for free for anybody who wants to be part of it. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing generosity. But this whole idea of returning to ancient paths, one of them, as I mentioned, repentance, confession of sin, getting things right with God, a commitment to prayer, commitment to listening and hearing God's voice. It's probably something that we haven't done as good a job as we could, teaching people how to hear God, how to hear His voice. Commitment to discipleship, not just church attendance. Attendance is great. You know, pastors feel better when there's more people in the room. But the reality is that's not going to make the church stronger. It's going to be a commitment to discipleship and actually becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Being in community. God never intended the church be alone. Welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ancient paths. Folks, all this stuff, there's nothing. It's basic, ancient, nothing new. It's just simply Bible practices that are committed to in a very intentional way. And there's more things I could say, but the last thing I want to just mention here is that just some thoughts here, is that the church needs to be prepared for challenging days ahead. I mentioned the reality that earlier that the church in Western Canada is weak. We've just come through the month of November, where many of you have been praying for the persecuted church. The reality is there are churches around the world that are being persecuted, where their lives are being threatened every day. They don't gather, the church in many places in the world are not allowed to gather publicly like we do. Many places, they're underground. But those churches, many of them are prevailing and advancing and going forward, and hundreds, thousands of people are coming to know Jesus because the church is strong and they're ready and they're prepared for the challenging days that are ahead. And in a lot of ways, North America has been, in some ways, been saved from some of that. But the reality is, chances are, very good chance, that going forward, that's not going to be the case. Are you with me? The reality is, and again, this is not intended to be bleak, okay? Because I think some of the most vibrant churches around in the world are churches that have had to be tested to the metal. And it's like in those settings that a lot of those churches are just rising up and meeting the test. But increasingly, I believe that even the Canadian church, the North American church, is going to face more and more persecution going forward. The church is going to increasingly experience more marginalization. We are going to be out on the fringes of society. We are going to be out there on the edge where continually mainstream media is going to attack the support levels for Christian values and Christian faith and for biblical life, whatever, is going to increasingly become a greater challenge for us and for you. And so even Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, he warned in the last days that there will be a great falling away. There will be people who will just say, you know what, I don't like living with this discomfort. And so if we're going to be able to withstand what is ahead, the church needs to be ready, needs to be prepared, needs to position itself to be ready for the next whatever might come. This morning, as we dedicated little Carlin, you know, I remember when we had kids. We still have kids, but they're grown up now. But I remember thinking about the world that we were bringing children into. Are you with me? But in the last 20, 30 years, that world has changed dramatically. What will the next 20 years look like for the Fugel family as they raise their four precious little children? What will the next 10 years look like for the church in North America? And again, this is not gloom and doom. It's to challenge us to position ourselves in such a way that we can be ready for whatever the enemy might throw at. And for the church to rise up and to see, the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace abounds. This will also, the Bible also tells us that there will be a great ingathering in the final days, the last days. And I want to be part of that. We have not lost our voice. We have not lost our influence. We are still the salt and the light of the world. Amen? But in order for us to be able to actually live out that heart, it's going to require deep commitment and a willingness to say yes to the plan that God would have for us, the ancient paths, the practices, the things that Jesus said from the very beginning. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Amen? That's what he said. He said, go and make disciples. He didn't say go I could make a long list of things that churches get involved in, all important things. But our number one responsibility is to see people come to know Jesus and make disciples and teach them how to be strong and how to walk with God and how to prepare for the future. And I love what Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, if you want to write this down. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. He says, return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. He says in verse 16, he says, "And I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt." Now, he's talking about the rebuilding of the temple, but we can cross over. God is still very much in wanting to see his church today rebuilt and renewed and restored, and for the church to experience a revival, to bringing back to life that which maybe has kind of been put aside somewhat. And that's just a little bit of the heart. I mentioned earlier that when we were away for that weekend, there was so much that we could not bring back with us. I'm glad I didn't have to bring back the Manitoba weather with us, the Manitoba mosquitoes, because we used to live there, my wife and I. But we were able to bring back some of the heart and some of the challenge, some of the pictures that we saw in our heart of a group of people, ordinary people. They dress like you and I. They look just like anybody else. Kids. One of the things, it's got a strong Mennonite influence, so a lot of the families there have a lot of kids. and there was just kids everywhere in the church. I mentioned earlier it was pretty cool the night of the prayer night. There was like 80 preteens. They had their own prayer summit. Isn't that cool? You think about it. 80 prayer teens or preteens having their own prayer summit simultaneously with the main gathering in the main auditorium. And they just kind of reduced it down to a little smaller setting. But 80 kids getting together, teaching them how to pray. Pray for their church, pray for their community. They take their kids out to local businesses to have them pray over the business, that God would bless their business. And children being inspired to, in the ancient practices, the ancient paths. And there's no reason that God can't do that here. You with me? There's no reason that God doesn't want to see, and it may look completely different. The fact that God spoke to them, they were not to go out and plant churches. That was one of the things that God put in their heart. They were not to go out and try to plant churches of their like theirs. But what they were called to was to share some of the things that they had been learning about renewal and to see existing churches across Canada, Iceland, North America, wherever, renewed. And it's not something that is rocket science. It's simply a returning to what we likely already know to be true. And we just need to combine in greater ways our orthopraxy with our orthodoxy. You know, you can go to your friends this week and tell them about some new words that you learned, okay? Anyway. And so, again, with this, inviting you, those of you who are even able to come and join us tonight for our prayer summit. It's one thing that we want to continue to do and to make a priority going forward and opportunities for prayer in your small groups, praying together. I want to encourage, if you're part of a group, why not, you could even sit together in a cell group tonight in your group and just, we're going to have the chairs arranged in such a way that it's not going to be in rows. You're going to be actually a little bit more connected to each other as we pray tonight. And so a couple of things. Please continue. This is some prayer requests for us. Pray with us. Pray with Barb and I as we help to maybe give some leadership, some guidance, some direction as we go forward. God is going to raise up some of you to take on a significant role in some of these practices going forward. And as I mentioned, I really want to encourage you to be with us tonight. Pray for the leadership of our church. Some of them are actually, Pastor Johnny is away this weekend down in Victoria with a family commitment. But we're going to share a little bit tonight. Just something that we prayed for. I was looking back. I've got the notes from the last four prayer summits that we've done. And one of the things that we were praying for a year ago this time was some renewal within our youth ministry, because a lot of our older kids had moved on and had graduated and so on, and it was almost like we had to almost start over. So instead of starting at the high school level, there was a kind of like a birthing of a preteen ministry. And one of the things that came out of last year was reaching boys, and we're also doing it with girls, but doing a boys group. And so last year, we're praying that there would be something new happening. And it started out with three or four boys coming together last year. And I went down and took a picture. They're getting up to 20 boys on a Tuesday afternoon after school. I wanted to take this picture, and it was crazy because I went downstairs. I thought they had all left and had gone home because it was dead silence. And you get 20 preteen boys together, it's usually chaotic, it's noisy, it's crazy, it's loud, and I have to close my doors in my office, and it's nuts. And I went down, like, where is everybody? And here down below, hunkered in behind the couch, I saw this group of boys with one of their young leaders, a youth YFC leader actually, with them, praying together. And that just really stirred my heart. And I thought, that's an answer to prayer. Something that we committed to prayer in a prayer summit a year ago. We're going to celebrate that tonight. But there's more to be done. And so the prayers for tonight, they may not show up in an actual tangible fruit for a significant amount of time, but we've got to start. And so I wanted to share some of this a while ago, but with my surgery and these little distractions that I've been dealing with, I'm glad to have had this chance to share with you this morning. And we're just going to trust God for what he has going forward. And but you guys are, in many ways, are key to the future. Let me encourage you to pray for your own personal renewal. In fact, let's all stand together right now, and maybe as a way of closing this morning, maybe I'll ask Adrian if you could just come to the keyboard. How many know that Jesus is still building his church today? Amen? I don't want us to, I forbid you to walk out of this place with a sense of bleak, this is about hope. Jesus is still alive. He's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He still has dominion from sea to sea. We declare that this morning. And what he's just saying is he just wants his church. He paid a huge price for us as the church. Look down, I see Joel and Melissa with their daughter there for Bethany. Jesus paid a great price for that little girl there. Jesus paid a great price for you. And the future in many ways is in our willingness to really pay attention to the ancient paths and to allow God to use his church in these potential final days of time. We don't know what the end is, and we're not given that permission, but there are definitely signs and things that would suggest that The church needs to be ready for what's ahead. And actually to be a voice of hope. In this Christmas season, to be the voice that invites others to come to follow Jesus. We're not a club. We're a movement. We have a mission that God wants us all to be part of. And so why don't you just take a minute right now and just maybe lift your hands before the Lord and say, would you renew my spirit? Would you renew my passion for you? Would you, if there are practices, we'll maybe pray into this tonight, if there are practices that perhaps I have neglected, if I've become lazy, if I've lost my first love, Jesus, I return to you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just say, even right now, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? Holy Spirit, would you show me? Maybe areas of my life that I need to surrender again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are gentle and you are kind. You know where we are. I love the scripture that Melissa read earlier, that we would be led as a shepherd leads his sheep, that Jesus would be our shepherd, not to come and beat the sheep, but to save the sheep. And that he would be our peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so as we said even last Sunday, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you in this place. We thank you. We are weak without you. Song was all the poor and powerless. We are powerless. Holy Spirit, we are powerless without you. We don't want to be a weak church. And so, Holy Spirit, we give you permission. Jesus, we give you permission to have your way in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.